Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, just glad to be along for the ride today, Bob.
Doug, it's great to see you in studio. There's some news, some interesting news, some sad news.
Some tragic news, some horrible news. I shouldn't say tragic. Awful, awful news. Another school shooting in Littleton.
Yeah. So we should talk through that, of course. So I'd like to start with what are your thoughts on it, and what's the news? What happened?
Well, a gentleman, a 32-year-old gentleman, walked onto the campus of a middle school in Littleton, Colorado.
Tragic.
Bruco Eastwood, a fellow with a long criminal history, possibly a police think he has a history of mental illness, and with a rifle he shot two students before he was tackled and wrestled to the ground and taken out of action by a brave math teacher.
Yeah.
At the school.
Yeah, what a hero, the math teacher. Now, we should talk through this the way it would be addressed if, for example, this happened 2,000 years ago and the Bible was being written.
I think that would be good.
Wouldn't that be good? Because Jesus, if you recall,
I do.
There's probably one or two people in the audience who don't, but Jesus would comment on current events.
Oh, yeah.
Because we could learn things when we observe. And if we have a Christian worldview, then if Christianity is true, we should be more insightful than people who do not have a Christian worldview.
Absolutely. There isn't a single news story. Virtually every news story that crosses the wire is apt to be analyzed with some biblical wisdom.
Yeah. When you look at the Bible, there are kidnappings, murders. There's nice things. There's farmers planting a crop and harvesting. There are people getting married, having kids. And then there are horrendous things. Marriage is failing.
Yeah.
And these stories are presented historically. And then there's typically a moral of the story. What is the moral of the story?
Right. So let's start with bail for Bruco Eastwood, the attempted murderer, the wacko who went crazy. Just as I was driving into the studio, I heard that he has a bail hearing. They're going to set, I think they're setting his bail at $1 million.
Yeah. And if someone has committed a crime that is a capital crime.
Yeah, which this would qualify. He didn't kill anyone. Apparently the two students shot are going to be okay.
Well, and one is in intensive care right now at Children's Hospital.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But hopefully the other, the girl, was injured in her arm, shot in the arm.
Treated and released last night. She's going to recover. I wasn't aware that the young man was injured that badly.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So, of course, people could hope but also pray for the doctors and the family to make wise decisions. But, okay, so bail, if the Bible says that you don't throw people in jail as a punishment, that's not a form of punishment. You punish people by restitution, corporal punishment like flogging, and capital punishment. But the Bible says you do hold a suspect in custody in a serious trial until you find out if he's guilty or not.
Right.
And then you don't keep him in custody for 15 years or 6 months. You either punish him or you let him go.
Sounds logical. Sounds reasonable.
Right? So a bail hearing on a capital case, capital cases should be things like kidnapping and murder, for example, terrorism, attempted murder. You don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card because you're incompetent or because you're a bad shot.
Right.
You get put to death if you try to kill an innocent person. If you intentionally try to kill or succeed and kill an innocent person, the penalty should be death.
Hmm.
So a bail hearing for kidnappers, murderers, other people who are suspected of capital crime, it's wrong.
And Bob, I'm scanning the wire now trying to get a little bit more information. I'll tell you one of the reasons that I don't have all the facts in this case is because I put the kids to bed last night, just caught a little bit of the news, and there was only about a 3 or 4 minute report on the story, and then literally the reporter said, and now on to other news. And I was shocked Here we have a school shooting in Littleton, Colorado.
A school shooting in the local news.
On to other stories?
Yeah, and of course they carried it. You know, there was a press conference last night during the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they didn't break away from the Olympics, but they had on, you know, Channel 9, for example, the NBC affiliate had on their, they have a deal with Channel 20 for something like this. So you go to Channel 20. But it's becoming common. There are dozens of school shootings, copycat cases, all kinds of reasons why we have school shootings, copycats after Columbine, of course. And so when you have an epidemic of murder, an attempted murder, like when Bobby Live went on the air back in 1991, there were about 24,000 murders a year.
Right.
And now there's, it's down by a third. There's about 16,000 murders a year on average.
Wow. That's,
so it's good that it's down, but it's epidemic.
That's a lot.
It's epidemic. It's like the media doesn't report on dog bites man because it's just too common.
Right. And so now similarly, we're in that similar situation with murder.
Murders don't get reported. I mean, they do, you know, some level, but it's not like it's a big story.
That's right.
If you have a murder, and increasingly school shootings are glossed over. And so there's a big crisis here. Now, deterrence, you have deterrence where if you swiftly and painfully execute somebody
before you get into deterrence, now this fellow here, Bruco Eastwood, apparently is a mentally ill individual.
Right.
He's a psycho. He's got problems.
That in and of itself is tragic. Mental illness is tragic. And let's assume that we haven't talked to him. We haven't talked to a doctor.
But based on reports.
Yeah, he's apparently like mentally ill, says he's hearing voices and all.
Right.
So let's talk about that. If he's hearing voices, and did you hear what he said to the teachers who tackled him? He said that he was going to sue them.
Right.
Which is bizarre, you know.
Yeah, that's
bizarre. But he obviously, even with mental illness, he's aware of consequences for actions.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
If there are voices talking to him, he's following somebody's lead.
Right, he's hearing those voices.
Mentally ill people are affected by their surroundings. This guy was mad at whatever, for whatever reason. We don't know his particular angst or anger.
Yeah, not yet.
Unreasonable as it undoubtedly is, but mentally ill people could respond to the common knowledge that if you kill people, you're going to be swiftly and painfully put to death. Mentally ill people can respond to that kind of deterrent like fully sane, rational people.
Well, sure. If he's hearing voices, then he has the capacity to process information.
Oh yeah.
He needs to hear that.
One voice. Yeah. One voice tells him, go to the school and shoot kids.
Right.
Another voice tells him, and then they're going to kill you.
So that voice needed to be introduced.
Yeah, but that voice doesn't exist. It's not out there.
Yeah.
So when you have a murder epidemic like we do in America, a murder epidemic, it's like an assembly line. People say, oh, don't you know they put innocent people in jail? Of course they do. When you have an assembly line, when you're processing thousands of murders a year, of course you make mistakes way more than if you didn't have a crime epidemic.
Yeah.
I mean, by definition.
You'd have to, yeah.
Yeah, so he is not hearing this deterrence, just as the general public is not hearing this deterrence, because it doesn't exist, hardly.
Yeah.
If there is an execution, it's in Texas, and it happens 22 years later.
Yeah.
So, and the number one cause of death on death row?
Let's see, would it be lethal injection?
Wait a minute,
maybe not the electric chair, they don't use that.
AIDS? Yeah. No, I think old age.
I
haven't looked it up, but it seems like it must be old age. And so what we have is when you have a crime epidemic where thousands of Americans are committing murder, then you also have people with varying degrees of mental illness.
Right.
I mean, you have everything from this guy, when you consider mentally ill people, right up through who? Governor Ritter? Whoever you want to pick.
Well, there's
a range of mental illness out there.
There's a range, yes.
There's a range. And so when you have a crime epidemic, you have more mentally ill people committing crime. And when you don't have a crime epidemic, you have fewer mentally ill people committing crime.
Right.
It's not as though back when we had a handle on crime, that we had a rash of mentally ill people committing crime. No.
No, it doesn't seem that way. And by the way, so, Bob, I just ran the math.
Yeah.
Approximately 44 murders every day in the United States.
44 murders a day. And there is something worse than having your child murdered. That's, you know, on the scale of horror.
What could be worse?
That's way up there.
Yeah.
Way up there. Horrendous. Yeah. What's worse is having your child become a murderer. That's worse.
Wow.
That is absolutely worse than having your child murdered.
Can you imagine knowing that your child took another innocent person's life, what that must do?
Yeah, so in America, when we look at 16,000 murders a year, some murders are multiple murders, mass murders.
Right.
So let's just call it 10,000 kids every year. 10,000 kids grow up to become murderers.
Wow.
10,000 kids, and the horror, the pain, the suffering of having a child murdered, or anyone in your family, friend, loved one, coworker, the fear, and then multiply that horror, that suffering by the people, the relatives of the one who became a murderer.
Mm.
Now, our society is broke. Quite often, families defend their kid who's committed a murder and so on.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. So if the death penalty only applied to one family in America, what would you pick? What would you
pick? Well, I would want it to apply to mine because I don't want my children to...
To your family?
To ever even consider the option of killing an innocent person.
So
my family.
So you're saying, whoa, we just got a telethon call and we didn't even give out the number.
Oh, we're gonna have to update.
All right, what's the number? Bob and Your Live is having a telethon. We've got a goal of $40,000, and we're at $10,000. And are we taking this call? Okay, we're not taking the call. The number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Where did that come in from? That call
came in from Dallas, Georgia.
Can we see that?
Dallas, Georgia.
Dallas. I thought Dallas was in. I thought that's where they execute criminals.
Yeah, I thought that
in Dallas.
Yeah, that's Huntsville.
Oh, there is a Dallas, Texas.
There is a Dallas, Texas.
So we're up to $11,000.
Joe put us over the $11,000 mark.
Joe
gave $250.
Wow. Thank you, Joe. 1-800-8-NYARTS. NYART is, I can't even pronounce my own name.
ENYART 836-9278. NYART.
800-836-9278.
And $250. For the value of the opinions being expressed here today and the truth being revealed.
Well, the goal is that we have biblical opinions.
Yeah.
That our comments are based on something substantive. Now, there are liberals who listen to a show like this and they get angry.
They do.
Right? They get angry, but they think the law should be whatever they feel at the moment.
Right.
So that view is the ultimate egotistical view.
Mm.
That the law should be whatever I feel like the law should be.
Yeah. And that's the liberal view.
That's the liberal view.
Yeah.
A conservative Christian view is humble before God. I think that God's word should inform us on what the law should be.
Absolutely. God is the lawgiver. He made all the law.
Yeah, he's smarter than we are.
The legislature doesn't make laws. God makes laws.
Yeah, true laws are not invented. They're discovered.
Now, that right there is worth $250.
Right there?
Just that one little nugget right there, of that golden nugget of biblical truth and wisdom.
True laws are not invented, they're discovered. Like when Isaac Newton is trying to figure out, why does the apple fall down from the tree? Why does the moon go around the earth? And he figures out universal gravity. He didn't invent gravity.
That's right.
He discovered the law of universal gravitation.
Yeah, he sure
and
did.
So the same thing is true with criminal law. The same thing is true with criminal law. And Doug, for example, if the government passed a law that said when you come out of your house in the morning, you have to put your finger on your nose. You got to touch your nose.
Okay.
And then as long as you do that, everything is fine for the rest of the day. But you got to touch your nose with your finger. If you don't, we're going to punish you.
Okay.
Now, that seems pretty harmless, right? Except that it's worse than idolatry. It's taking the place of God.
Uh-huh.
That's the government saying, we are God. We can tell you what is right and what is wrong.
Mm.
They cannot.
Uh-huh.
So criminal law is not to be invented. It's to be discovered. But the code of use, like how do we use infrastructure? Like, what's infrastructure?
Well, how do we zone, let's say, a community to prevent giant loud factories being right next to houses?
Zoning.
Well, let's say zoning.
Zoning.
Bridges, roads.
Bridges. How about roads? What side of the road are you going to drive on, and
okay,
how fast?
Now, that's not an inherently moral question.
No, that's a matter. Some people drive on the wrong side of the road.
They do. I've been to those countries, and I'll tell you what, they drive like maniacs.
Those countries are all islands. Have you noticed that?
Let's see, you've got England.
Because let's say you had Austria. Let's say in Austria they drove on the left side of the road instead of the right.
Okay, now, Austria, we've got public school graduates and educators
public
listening.
School teachers listening. Austria is not an island nation.
It's not a continent.
No.
It's Austria.
Does it even have a coast?
I believe Austria is landlocked, I'm not mistaken.
I haven't checked, but yeah. And so, Doug, how many roads go into Austria? Probably 1,000.
Oh, well, yeah.
So could you imagine if Austria, if they drove on the wrong side of the street, at every road, you'd have a potential collision.
And at every
especially
border,
at
things
night.
Would go, right?
Yeah, everybody get confused.
Yeah.
But an island nation where you don't typically drive onto, like, New Zealand.
Yeah.
You don't drive to New Zealand.
That's right.
In Australia.
And Japan.
And Great Britain.
Great Britain.
They can drive on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
But if you're connected, it's just not an option.
I see.
So. But that, whether you drive on the right or the left side of the street, that is not an absolute moral issue. That's arbitrary. You can come to that by consensus, or a governing authority could say, here's how we're going to set up our infrastructure. That's a code of use, but the criminal code is a different thing.
Right. When the government comes up with creative and ways to punish capital crimes other than what are prescribed in the scriptures, then we're talking about a situation of immorality.
Yeah, we're talking about usurping God's authority, saying, well, if somebody murders someone, we're not going to put him to death. We're going to be nice to him. So you're nice to the murderers, and you end up with a murder epidemic. If somebody kidnaps, we're not going to put them to death, and you end up with children who are stolen.
Right. And isn't that the foundation of all the sin, was Lucifer wanted to usurp the authority of God?
Yeah. Lucifer wanted to say what the consequences might be.
Right.
And
that's
God
right.
said, here are the consequences. And Lucifer said, no, they're not. That's not the consequences.
He wanted to change the rules.
And even Eve, God said, don't eat. And she said, don't touch.
That's right. Lucifer told her, that's right. She told him, you can't even touch it.
Yeah. So we should pay attention to what God says. Now we've got a call, Doug, but we've got the telethon. We're at $11,000.
Yeah.
So people could give online at kgov.com or they can call.
Yes. Yes. But better now to go online to kgov.com. You can subscribe to products, monthly subscriptions. You can give a monthly donation, give an extremely large one-time donation.
Yeah, that's right.
We're only at about 26% of our goal.
And let me say this. We've got the curing period coming up in Colorado. The Secretary of State's going through 80,000 signatures. He's going to throw out some for being invalid.
Yeah.
And so we have to fill up that number, and we'll have 2 weeks to do that. So please call Personhood Colorado. Join a team.
Yes.
There are a dozen teams. And, Doug, I've got Metro West. What's your team?
My team is the Centennial Alpha Dogs.
Centennial
Alpha Dogs. I just added my 23rd team member today.
23rd.
This morning. Yes.
I'm not doing that well. I have about, I think, 14
or so. Well, they're coming along.
But people
don't
are coming
worry.
Along. So you could call up. You could call Personhood Colorado.
Right.
Or you can look at Colorado Right to Life's website. They're going to have a list of teams, how to join. Or you could call Bob and Aaron Live and join my team.
Yeah, there you go. We'll
I
get
need
you
help.
Up. In fact, let's go to the callers. Go ahead, Matthew from Aurora. Go ahead.
Yeah, I called you guys because I want to help you out gathering signatures. I haven't done anything for Personhood up to this point and thought, you know, it's a good cause and I need to get in on this. And
praise the Lord.
Yeah, Matthew.
Thank you, Lord.
Matthew, you don't want to miss out on the most significant human rights movement of your lifetime, and you've got a chance now to make amends for whatever you haven't done.
Yeah.
Believe me.
And everyone you offer to sign a personhood petition, that's going to be brought up on Judgment Day.
That's right.
Whether they sign or not in some way. It'd be like if we were in Germany, Matthew, and the Germans are killing the Jews, and you're there, and you're asked to help save the life of a Jew, and you say, well, I'm too busy. Right? That would come up on Judgment Day.
That would come up on Judgment
Day. It would come up. Yeah. Jesus said, every idle word and every idle action will be revealed.
Wow.
So idle. How about somebody who says, come on, personhood is not all that important. God doesn't care if children have their arms and legs ripped off. He doesn't really care about that. He cares about Sunday school and tithing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Matthew, you're going to help.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I think every time I get to ask somebody about whether they sign my petition, that it's a good chance to witness.
You got that right.
That is so right.
Somebody says, well, I'm a good person. Well, then you should probably want to sign this, or else maybe you're not such a good person.
You know what, Matthew? One of the most common responses I get when I ask people to sign and they don't want to sign, they lift their hand, typically their right hand, and they say, I'm good. Mm. And they just keep walking. Isn't that funny that you just said that? Because
yeah,
that is
I'm good.
And I always, and now I don't,
and,
I don't get into
Bible
arguments.
The Bible says there is none good, no,
none,
not one.
None good.
And guess what? Won't. Even if you fight abortion your whole life,
yeah,
that doesn't mean you're good.
No, I signed it, and I'm not good.
right, Matthew? Because
that's Romans 3:10.
Yeah, amen,
brother. We have sinned against God. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, so that if we humble ourselves and let God know we're sorry for our sin and we are thankful that Christ died for us and rose from the dead and we believe in him, then we will be saved. So it doesn't matter if you spend your whole life helping drunk people who've thrown up on themselves and are laying in the gutter and you're too proud to thank God that Christ died for you on the cross,
right,
then hell will have a lot of drunk people throwing up on themselves. Oh, wait a minute. There are no drugs in hell.
No, there's no drugs in hell.
How are they going to
throw up? No beer in hell.
No beer in hell. How are they going to throw up on themselves, Matthew?
It's probably a disgusting place anyway.
I guess so. So anyway, it's not as though if you do good works, you get to heaven.
No.
No.
But I've noticed that since I have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm feeling more and more compelled to help my neighbor,
to
my
love
fellow
your
man,
neighbor.
To love
absolutely.
My neighbor.
Mahatma Gandhi, you know, people think, oh, look how good he was.
Yeah.
He was a manipulator. He said, do what I want you to do or I'll kill myself.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's Mahatma Gandhi. The world worships him. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They don't
worship
Jesus Christ, the secular world, but they worship Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
But Gandhi said, do what I say or I'll kill myself. He's going to remember he tried to starve himself.
I remember
to death.
Hunger strike. Well, I don't remember. I've read about them.
Yeah.
A little before my time.
You weren't there then?
I was not.
All right. So, Matthew, yeah, this doesn't mean you get salvation. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. This
right,
is,
I've got that.
Yeah, praise God. This is whether you're loving your neighbor or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Germany and you're doing nothing to resist the killing of the Jews, then God says, Jesus said through the parable of the Good Samaritan,
right,
you are not loving your neighbor.
Mm.
The one who loves his neighbor is not the Christian who teaches a Bible study. It's the Samaritan. And he said the Samaritans didn't even know God.
Yeah.
Jesus said that.
That's right.
Jesus said it's the Samaritan who tries to help when there's a criminal who leaves this guy for dead and the Samaritan helps. Jesus said the Samaritan is the one who loves his neighbor, not the Bible teacher, not the priest.
Mm. So, Matthew, it's exciting to hear from you.
Thank you.
We are going to assign you to Bob's team.
Oh, hey, Matthew, will you join my team?
Hey, I'd love to.
My team is Metro West, but it's okay that you're in Aurora.
Yeah,
because it doesn't really matter.
We're going to have cross communications. We're going to be able to move, shoot, and communicate all over the metro area, all over the state during that 15-day period, Matthew. And wherever we can plug you in, we just praise God that now we know we can count on you, brother.
This is like a JDAM. This is a joint operation between the Marines, the Air Force, the Army. Everybody could talk to one another.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Matthew. We'll put you on hold, and we'll make sure we get your info.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I never heard that. Whatever.
What?
We always called it a CAX.
CAX?
It was a combined arms exercise.
All right. But what's a JDAM? Do you remember JDAM?
Well, I don't know. The Army has all kinds of different.
Joint means when all the branches of the military are involved and they could. But you called it, you were in the military.
Well, but no, that was all Marines. But we used guns, missiles, helicopters, boats, tanks.
Yeah. The word, you know, I used to work for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company, so we provided the Army with their Apache attack helicopters.
That's a great helicopter.
But joint was the term.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could talk between the branches.
And that's what we're going to do.
That's what we're doing.
During the 15-day curing period.
For the curing period.
Now, it's the curing period.
Yeah.
The curing period, ironically enough, is killing the telethon. Because we've been working
that's
day and
true.
Night.
But let's do a last news. I know, Doug. You're right. The telethon. But we need help. 1-800-8-NER or go online, kgov.com, to help us to keep Bob and Yurt live on the air. There's no guarantee and there's no foundation behind Bob and Yurt live.
No, there's no mystical force.
Doug,
keeping
let's
the
do
show
a
on the
show
air.
Sometime of what we would do if somebody gave to Bob and Yurt live $100,000 or $1 million.
Okay, I've got ideas
for
both.
We'll do a show. We'll do a show on that.
Okay. Now, well, since we've been talking about the public schools and the horrible crime, not a tragedy. I hate to use that word. The crime that was committed. I've got another public school story out of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
In a town called Central Falls, Rhode Island, yesterday, the school district voted to fire every single teacher at the school. Every at Central Falls High School, they fired all the teachers.
Every teacher.
Yeah, every single
teacher.
One.
Now, we have here in Colorado, we have schools that parents think they're not public schools because they're charter schools.
Yeah.
We say, how's that charter school working out for you? Well, the teacher's having sex with the student. The principal's having sex with the
student.
Like
every week
people
you hear
are going
like
to jail.
That. Yeah.
Teachers are going to jail, but this is a school where they fired everybody.
Everybody. And the Secretary of Education there in Washington, a fellow named Arnie, I'm not familiar with the guy. He applauded the decision. He says, quote, when schools continue to struggle, we have a collective obligation to take action.
Yeah, and the action should be close down the schools. If it saves one life, it's worth it, right?
Amen. I'm all for that.
Right?
And then,
Mike Rosen always says on KOA, if it saves one life, it's worth it.
It must be worth
I always hear him saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Well, and then once we shut down the schools, we can abandon this idea of a collective obligation to education.
Yeah, that's right.
How about
right.
each parent is obligated to educate their child?
Yeah, because when the government does it, then parents, they don't care. They get uninvolved.
Yeah.
They get uninvolved. If the government said, we're going to take care of your car, we're going to keep it in running order, do you think people would change their oil?
No.
They wouldn't change their oil.
Of course not.
They wouldn't care. They'd drive right over curbs.
Yeah.
Because the government's going to take care of it, then people will not. It's like, do people drive rental cars as carefully as their own?
No, and that's what you'd have. Everyone would treat their car like a rental.
Right.
And now we've got people being...
Children, we've got children treated like they're rentals.
Like rental children.
Because the government says, we're from the government, we're here to help. We're going to educate your child, we're going to feed them breakfast, lunch, everybody. Some states, some cities, they feed everybody, the whole school, breakfast, lunch. And the parents think, oh good, I don't have to feed my kids.
Yeah.
And it destroys parenting, it destroys families, it destroys the kids, but liberals, does stupidity lead to sin, or does sin lead to stupidity? Primarily.
Sin leads to stupidity. And that leads
and
to...
And they don't care when you point all this out, because they're sinful, they're in rebellion against God.
Mm.
Thank you, Doug McVernon.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Maranatha Christian Center, Colorado Right to Life, and check out ProLifeProfiles.com.